recognize it as public.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right, there it is.
Oh my.
That would be you, right?
That would be me.
Well, there we go. Well, since I'm already up here, I might as well just take a look up there.
Oh, yeah, how do you open house call?
I guess I had speakers. I didn't get there in time for the speakers, but.
Lucky you.
But Dave said that they had a really good turnout. So.
Good. Yeah, I was.
Read the story in next week's paper.
There we go. I find out what happened.
And C3 of it's doing Touch of Talk.
Yep, and Fleet Farm is doing a touch of truck on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You're pretty close in the crossfire.
Hey, Greg.
Oh, hey, Greg.
Hey.
All right. 5:30, I'll call the meeting to order. First item on the agenda is to approve the agenda. Does anyone have anything that they would like to add to this agenda that they don't see? Otherwise, I think we can say this is the consent agenda and move on. So the agenda starts with pollinator garden discussion.
Thanks for allowing me to come. I don't need a whole lot of your time. I don't want to sit with my back to people, so I guess I'll stand up like a teacher. So anyway, I'm Brenda Verruben, and you may or may not have seen me walking my dog every single morning on the walking trail, and I've long thought that it would be very nice by the sign at the head of the trail to have a pollinator garden. And I retired a couple of years ago, and one of my goals was to become a certified master gardener through UW Extension Madison Horticulture Program. So about a year ago, I finished up my classes I needed to take to do that. So now I attained my goal of becoming a master gardener. So that doesn't mean I really know anything. You know how it is? I realized how much I didn't know. You know, I always gardened, but I thought I had a better handle on it than what I did. So I've learned a ton, and I love learning. I'm a lifelong learner. So it's really good for me during my retirement to have a master gardener challenge. So anyway, now that I have time to approach you folks and say, can I please create a pollinator garden, here I am. So part of the philosophy of the UW Extension horticulture program is giving back to the community. There, I didn't realize, I guess I didn't know that much about the extension, but they're very, very community oriented. And just as a side note, the learning that you can do for free through them is remarkable. So it's been a really neat experience. And I don't work for them. You know, my certification is through them, but I'm not an employee there, just to be clear about that. Anyway, given the requirement for continuing education, and thank you for doing that.
You tell me when you want to.
Yeah, we're good. I forgot to tell you to go ahead. Anyway, I mentioned that focus on giving back to the community. So continuing education, they have their hours that they require every year, and I think it's just right. It's not too arduous, but it's enough to challenge me and keep on learning, so that's what it's all about. Anyway, we're required to do 24 hours of volunteer work per year, and so I'm ready to dig in the dirt by the sign and create a pollinator garden. We don't have to do 24 per year. You can do as little as 3, but I'm more interested in doing a project that I can work on over time. And so that's why I'm thinking about a garden here. So obviously that's the sign at the trailhead, and I call that a perfect spot. The only drawback would be I can't plant way back because the plants won't get any moisture when it rains because of the peat roof. So I would put things that can tolerate less sun and less water towards the back there, and then if they don't get rain, that would be okay. So
so you're literally talking like underneath the sign and around the sign?
Yeah. Mostly in the front of it, and then some in the back, some on the sides.
Okay.
And there's that big rock that extends out. That's not in my picture, obviously, but if you would let me, I could incorporate the rock as kind of a cool feature in the garden. So anyway, why a pollinator garden? You probably have heard that our bees are in trouble, and our monarch butterflies are in trouble. And so to contribute to biodiversity, to create a habitat for our pollinators, we need to plant as many pollinator plants as we can. And I notice every morning the wonderful cherries that you have surrounding the school. Those are wonderful, and I watch different things bloom throughout the summer. So my goal is not to replicate what's already in your prairies. For instance, in the upper left-hand corner there, that's a purple cornflower, and I don't think that I saw any in your prairies. And that's something that bees and monarchs really, really go for. And not everything has to be a native plant to serve a pollinator well. I have planted a lot of zinnias, which are annual flowers, and the seeds are nice and big, easy to handle. You can literally scatter them. So I had zinnias all around my yard to fill in spots where I didn't have other plants so that weeds wouldn't grow. And I was amazed how the monarchs and bees like zinnias. I didn't really realize that. So, of course, I'm saving all my seeds and have those at my disposal if you are in agreement to me using those. So, anyway, I try not to use any pesticides. Like, I'm not going to be spraying the area with Roundup or brush killer or anything like that. We try to stay away from that because that sort of thing is harmful to pollinators. So natural would be the way that I would want to go. And because I walk every single morning, I can pull weeds as we go. So maintenance shouldn't be too arduous at all. And it probably would take 2 to 3 years to get established well enough that I would feel confident that, you know, it wouldn't need as much nurturing. So I intend it to be a longer-term project, like several years, not just a one-shot deal. So what else can I say? Do you want to go to the last picture? All right. That was taken about a week ago when I was walking in the morning. And there's the trail. And look at the beauty in the sky there. So I just thought it was a lovely picture. And I wanted to have my German Shepherd in it, but he never really stands still long enough to have a picture. So
you're making us a dog model then?
Yeah.
So you're talking, so here's a zooming in on the thing. So you're just talking like this corner right here, or?
Yeah. Is that the rock?
This is,
I'm zooming in. Yeah. I would rather go bigger rather than smaller. You know, when you start planting native plants, they root very deeply, they spread quickly. So really, the more room I have, the better.
And how long did it get? Pardon? Probably
3 to 5.
I just worry about obstructing the view from either the sidewalk or, you know, cars.
It wouldn't be anywhere close to
green tree. Okay. It wouldn't be anywhere close to the road. That's not my intention. Well, that's pretty nice. Yeah. So there's the big rock. Yeah, and we don't want it encroaching on the trail.
Yeah.
And shade plants, that's a hot spot there. Oh, even in the morning in the summer with the sun there, that is so hot at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's really good for the types of plants I want to put in there. And the back of it would be good for, it's called spiderwort. Very hardy, very shade tolerant, very drought tolerant. So you can tell I have some ideas about what could go where. But, you know, if you wanted it to be quite small, I could do it quite small. If I can go a little bit bigger, like surrounding the sign, and then maybe like a pathway to the rock.
So if this is the corner, are you talking this size?
Like 10 by 10, or
yeah. This size. I'm just trying to get it.
There isn't really all that much room under the sign. That area is not very big. So if I encircled it, I'm thinking like 12 by 12. 12 feet isn't.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I could go a little bigger, I would. But 12 by 12 minimum.
So go above to the rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to the west of the rock and the building.
Yeah.
So you said you wouldn't use Roundup or anything. So what do you do with the graft that's already established?
Oh, it's called occultation. And basically you smother it from moisture and from light. So if I really would have liked to start this process earlier, but it didn't work out that way, because when it's hot and sunny, that's really good for like cooking. It like cooks the roots. Anyway, if I could, I would take black plastic yet this fall and my landscape stakes, and I would cover the grass where we want the plants. And then I have mulch ordered for at home. I put 2 or 3 bags on top of that so it's not unsightly. And then when spring comes, if I were to uncover it right away, the grass would just start growing because it's going to go dormant pretty soon anyway. So when the spring sun starts to shine on that, and the snow is going to melt off of it first because it's flat, when the spring sun, as it heats up, it will literally like cook and bake what's underneath, and then I'll have to dig the sod out, but I'm not going to like throw it away. You turn it upside down and then break it up.
So you want to do all that. You don't want a roller tiller out there to
speed
up the process?
No.
You want to do the whole thing?
I want to do the whole thing. Yeah, that's what I did with my yard. My whole yard is perennials and native plants. So I like to work hard outside. I really do. So, yeah, it's going to be, I'm not going to need any help. I have the seeds, I have the plants, plenty of seeds. I've got the tools, I've got the plastic, I've got the landscape sticks. I mean, I really just need
to open it off and put a sign.
I got two small questions.
All right.
One, do you have to dig deep at all? Like, do you have to cultivate in for putting plants in?
I'm going to have to shovel depth.
I'm just thinking, do you think there's a telephone line that runs somewhere on the other side of that trail? I do believe it runs somewhere in there, but on that side of it, but they're down 18 inches usually, so.
I usually would go down.
And I would suggest that any before you do any digging, do diggers hot water.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Are you concerned at all of people walking through there if it would be raining and then they take refuge from the rain in the
under the
shelter there?
When the plants are young and tender, I would not like them to get stepped on.
So would it be possible, since that was built kind of as a rain shelter for people and also as a message board, if you didn't plant right under the roof?
That's better because.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I think it would work better to leave the building as such.
Sure. I could start at the roof line.
And then
come outward, and then people could still get under there if they wanted to get out of the sun or rain or whatever. That's actually better for me because then I don't have to worry about.
I just hate to see you do all that work and then, it'd be pouring rain and somebody's trampling through it.
Stuff happens. The animals dig. Animals dig. There's always, that's why I say it every morning when I walk by there. I mean, it's going to work out good. Yeah. My dog doesn't take no for an answer to daily walking, so it makes me go out there.
I guess my second question then would be water. I mean, how much water, do you need water? Because there's no access to water there, so I don't know.
No, and I thought about that. When the plants are young and tender, of course they need more moisture. Mm-hmm. You don't want to let them dry out at all. Once established, like after the first year, nature will pretty much take care of everything, but I'm going to have to bring buckets or milk jugs with water or whatever if it doesn't rain. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we could probably help in there. We do have a water tank, a 7-gallon water tank or something. In those early stages, if you did need some water, we'd leave a tank there. But getting a hose in there or anything there is going to be a little difficult. So.
Yeah. I guess I've seen your
lot.
That's cool.
When I bought
this, it's huge, right?
No, I mean, since it's in the back of our Kubota.
Oh.
We use it for like a boudoir, or some of our planted potters or something like that. But it's not a lot of water, but it transports water for us.
Sure. Well, I won't say no. I'll never.
I just don't want this to all of a sudden be like, oh, we need a water source out there. Now we're looking at plumbing. That's what I'm getting at. Okay.
And I thought there might be a question about mowing around that too. And so I'm going to set it up so that there's a barrier of organic material around the garden bed. Mulch, shredded leaves, whatever, so that we're not fighting with the grass coming in there. And, you know, I don't want it to look unsightly, I mean, at all. That I don't want, I'm proud of my work, and I don't want a raggedy garden there with weeds and what have you.
So it's not going to be like a natural lawn. That seems a little ground pounding.
No, this is literally the pollinator. This is
this is
almost all flowers.
It is.
It's flowers that bloom at different times, so they'll have spring, June, July.
Thank you.
Ideally, you have a new pollinator popping up every couple of weeks. So.
Yeah. That's why planning is important.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot about the need for that.
Yeah.
Right now at home, my asters are blooming.
Yep.
So I still...
You still have them there.
And my marigolds are still blooming, etc. So anyway, I don't want to go on and on. Is there anything else that you would like to ask me?
Would you mind if we, once it gets established, I think that there would be a lot of opportunities for students to be involved and so forth, and I'm sure that you would be open.
Oh, yeah.
Horticulture class or science classes or those kind of.
They could do seed saving
and
start bedding plants.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I teach horticulture, so I need something for them until our plants come into the greenhouse. So if you need any help in the springtime.
She went about and told them.
You could have 15 little helpers.
That would be a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, I'm up for any of that. Any and all of that. Yeah. All right. Well, I probably used up all my time now. Thank you for allowing me to come. And if you have any further questions, Troy's got my email. And we'll go from there. Okay, thank you, everyone, and have a good evening. All right,
thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. I didn't realize that you were part of the meeting.
So this is the scale back estimates of our last meeting. I just want to bring attention to, it would be, first of all, the numbers don't match up, Danielle and Greg, if you didn't hear that. The numbers down here do not correlate to the numbers up above. Okay, so. So if you look at option two, which is the baseball softball diamond, that would have turf in it. My brain is telling me that, just hear me out, if we wanted to do option two and option four together, I truly think that that could be accomplished for less than $50,000. If we would hire some local people and take the dirt from the softball field down to the baseball diamond, take the dirt from the infield of the baseball diamond, bring it up to the softball field, have Steven get on his tractor with the tiller, make that into green space. It's mostly already green. Take down the fence is not that hard. And then it would just be then full dirt infield for the baseball diamond, and we could spend more money on other things. I mean, tilling up the grass. And the only reason I'm saying this is because, darn it, I have experience doing this. I redid the whole Gresham baseball diamond.
You did a nice job.
Yeah. So I don't think that if we really wanted to scale it back, I think we could just combine option two and four and do it locally. I really do.
Moving that much dirt that far does cost a little, but not much. And
$800,000.
Yeah, I think 50 is not an unreasonable number.
And especially if the baseball diamond is not used very much, and it would turn into a multi-use diamond. Baseball, softball, Little League. Just people could hold practices there, do whatever. Because it would have multiple base paths, multiple everything. Yeah. That would only be my recommendation for
change. And then four would become an extra half practice field?
Correct. Because Steven, what's all the softball, the dugouts are junk. How are the fences up there? Are those junk too?
No, those are all in good shape.
The fences for softball is? Mm-hmm. So would you just leave the backstop or get rid of it?
I would leave the backstop.
Okay.
Because it's, that's probably in there. Okay. And it's, those are very expensive too. The backstop's very expensive, the fencing part of it. So, I mean, that wouldn't really hurt anything leaving.
And maybe you want to put a soccer goal in front of it.
Isn't it kind of the walking field and the walking trail?
That doesn't really take up any space. But I mean, the only other thing I would say, if you know, if we really wanted to do this, is we've hemmed and hawed back and forth. If you wanted to do additional parking, you put it there. Because anytime you have a driveway, it's wasted space. Or do you move it to the east and put it in proximity of the current parking? Because when we had one event that we have the other day, Stephen, and like people were parked on the grass everywhere.
Yeah.
So like for graduation, for everything, so it seems like there's still not enough parking.
Right, I know you and I talked about this because the way they have it configured right here, I told Troy, I said, come wintertime, why would we plow it?
Yeah.
It's so far away from everything, it would just be an empty parking lot. We wouldn't even plow it. I mean, but if you brought it up closer to, and utilized it for extra parking, now you could use it all year. Otherwise, it's a very long trek for any winter sports, or small
sports. And even sometimes the rec gets tight, especially on especially during swimming or anything like that. Having it.
Now, the only thing with this, and I see probably what they're trying to do, is they were trying to bring that ADA compliant parking closer to the bathroom facilities. Now, with that being done, if they move that parking lot, there still might have to be 8 stalls put within that.
We're within 300 feet.
300 feet there?
Yes, we are well within range of 300 feet. The idea of what this was is this would be more senior citizen / handicap parking and have the new entrance to the stadium be next to the concession stand near the play, where the current play pole is. But I don't think that's necessary. And again, I'm just curious how far that number would go down for a parking lot. That's a $1 million parking lot and stadium entrance. I don't think that parking lot would cost $1 million if you move it and just leave the entrances as is. I don't know. I could ask them.
I mean, just asking the number of square feet of parking lot, price, the price moved one way or the other, exclusive of the upgrades to the...
So when we look at the overall plan, and the board is going to hear this exact same thing come Monday on the agenda. What we're looking at is doing like 3 tiers if we do a survey question, okay? So if we would do an operational referendum for, I'm just throwing this out there, $2 million, this is what we could get. $3 million, this is what we could get. $3.5 million, this is what we could get. What level would you support, for a vote? That's kind of the way that they're doing it is which one of these levels would you support instead of just saying, do you want to redo this, yes or no?
Right.
That they kind of say you would support this, which of the bottom.
With this much money, these are the options that are available. With this much money, these are the options.
Yeah. So you, and to be clear, you're like, well, Troy, that doesn't even add up to the $4 million. This would be a reoccurring referendum for 5 years. So if we would do the $4 million, you'd divide that by 5. That's a minimum of how much you would have to collect per year in order to make that happen, if that makes sense. So I don't know. mean, the other key thing that I keep saying over and over, it's no longer a football field. It is an athletic complex, athletic stadium, whatever you want to call it. It's no longer the baseball diamond. It's a multi-purpose field. Option one is everything you see in there. The only thing that they're still working on is they need to come out here and look at our light poles to see what the upgrade for LED lighting would be, if that's going to change that $4 million or not. Yeah. But it would include the track, and it includes the really good turf playing surface, because when I mean really good, it's what's underneath the turf that matters. So in 20 years when you have to replace it, you have to replace the base or don't you? So this would have the 15-year base or whatever it's called underneath it, if that makes sense. But then striped for soccer, striped for football, striped for whatever we want to stripe for. And then you go into this, and I guess I didn't put this on the board agenda, maybe I should have. I was joking at this design. Instead of having Clinton Hill Truckers in the end zone, where do you put the C-grade logo? Where do you put the Mighty Marion Body Works logo? Where do you, sponsor X, Y, and Z? Just, that's what Amherst did and a couple other districts in the area. Hey, for 20 years, you can have your name on this in this location if you donate X amount of money.
So if we're looking at a multi-use field, how come we're not taking maybe where the soccer field is out there? How come we can't make that a parking off of where the green team parks their employees park? Because people park up there and watch the soccer games.
Great idea, because in the last referendum,
it's really close to the factory team.
Yeah, so what had happened is the last referendum said district owned property, and there was going to be a plan in there to do it, and now they blacked out theirs and we blocked ours, and now it's kind of like no partnership right now. I talked to them many times, so it's Steven.
But I need to make our soccer field, if we're going to use the football field as soccer for soccer
games,
then why not just
use
that field as
parking?
Oh, that's what this is.
Yeah. Are you talking here? Instead of here, put it here.
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong.
So number the number five, they're talking about changing.
That is the soccer field.
That is the soccer field.
Yeah, that is the soccer field.
And what they do is they have the parking lot on the west, and they're going to move it. And the suggestion tonight was, don't put it here, put it here, closer to the existing rec center.
Because then it's not just restricted to athletics. It could be possibly moved or used for everything.
Actually, if you pull up
if
the
you would have marked like Green Tree Road on here, I think you would have been able to.
Okay, so right now they currently have the parking lot right here, according to the picture.
Yeah.
What we're saying is you would put the parking lot here, which would be closer proximity to everything, graduation, elementary concerts, field house, all that kind of stuff.
Because in the Taj Mahal, they took the softball diamond, moved it down here, moved this up here. We're saying it's not doing that. So I guess what we're saying is
you take this sand, put it in dump trucks, fill in here, take this black dirt,
bring it back up here, remove the outfield fence. That's really all you would have to do.
So what would you do with the place where they have a practice fence?
Right here, there would be a half of a practice field. And then the other would turn into parking.
Okay. Now give me my opinion on practice. Because we share the practice field, like soccer practice on Thursdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Thursdays, I share the field with another team, so we can't practice on that field.
I mean, so I know youth football, you can see it striped right here. Youth football basically uses this area. You could superimpose that and make a second one right here.
Yeah, because if you scroll up a little further, you'll see youth football.
So there's the other ones. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, minimum, and this is the hard thing. Minimum, we have to do that track. So if we don't go to referendum or don't pass a referendum and we want to still have track, you're looking at putting $100,000 away for 5 years just to do the track. $100,000 for 5 years just to do the track.
Well, and that's the facility that's being used.
Yes.
I mean, the other, even the baseball and the softball diamond, we did nothing with them and they're just there. It is what it is. It's still there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If we didn't even do those options, you know, it is what it is. But, and we can do that because they're not being utilized. Really. So,
yeah.
But you're tracking your football complex or sports complex
is
what you do.
All the time. And with soccer growing, this is Troy's personal opinion. I think it's cool if soccer plays under the lights, just like the other sports get to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only right.
With a good PA system and lighting and all the other
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
All
I
there.
Really think
yeah.
soccer
yeah.
is as well as in the
middle. And here's the thing, too. I mean, the softball diamond, I mean, they've spent a lot of money in the past putting the backstops in. They put the outfield fence in. Really, even the baseball diamond itself and the softball field themselves, it's just mainly the infield that need to be, if they want to be playable, like
playable.
High school WI playable, would really need to be touched up. Otherwise, it's, you know, the shop class or something could go to the dugout, but that's here and there. But, you know, even if you didn't do anything with them, they're still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're there.
Would you still recommend them, Stephen, ripping out this grass infield? Because that's...
Yeah, I would not. I know probably some. I play on all dirt infield. I think it's easier in the game. It's fine, but I know it's probably baseball people prefer grass. But it's very hard to maintain, and if you're not on top of it,
bad lips
and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of school districts pull them out because of that, because of maintenance on them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's.
And especially if you pull it, then suddenly and maintain that infield, suddenly you have a multi-purpose.
And that's even say maybe we don't touch this and we just rip that out and, you know, take the tiller, go along the edges, smooth that out, you've got the big roller now, and we just do two dirt infields that are multi-purpose. I mean, that would be really cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably still bring some of them with backup infield out or something because they know the mix and all that stuff.
Yeah,
definitely, you know, something like that. But.
That's tens of thousands on the high end.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I can bring someone locally out, you know, if they need sound probably.
Reiki Hoon LLC will do it for $25. I need insurance for 3 days.
I mean, it's just one of those things that when if people come back and be like, well, how come this isn't being maintained, or it's hard because it's, you know, it's
a
referendum
to
compare
yourself.
Okay, what if we use our own
equipment? All right, moving on. Is there anything more on this? Because we will... At the end, I'm going to revisit all of these one at a time and for recommendations to the board. Let's just do it at the same time. Why come back to it? What do the people here think we should recommend to the board? Do any of these sound good? Do all of them sound bad? I don't know.
They all sound good. My only concern is, well, sports are great. We're in the business of educating children, and it's a lot of money to spend on sports.
And like Rutler said, you don't have to do everything at once. You could just, I mean, minimum, I want the sports complex because I think we need it. I think it makes sense.
Right.
If we don't do the parking lot, baseball, or turning it other green space, I'm not hurt at all. But I'm thinking 20 years down the road, and it might have been brought up to me that two neighboring school districts are redoing their sports complex, so maybe the one in between them should. Throw that out there.
Okay. I mean, I think if we're going to do something, we should do the football field in the past.
No, the athletic, the former league football field.
Yeah, I think that should be
the
focus. And the rest of it, I think we can do over. That's just my opinion.
You said that again, Mark?
That should be our starting point.
The athletic complex start, and any of the others can be
done over time or less expensive by
options,
local businesses, like maybe want to volunteer some time. It's over.
You know, maybe if we could get $1 million of sponsorship, that $4 million goes down to $3 million. I mean, just
and we're going to have to spend at least $500,000 to do the track animal. And then if you do it more expensive, then the track is sloped, right?
Yeah.
All of those things.
Corner Four is sponsored by Quick Trip. The announcers could really hit that round. That's how the Quick Trip corner is. It's be like a NASCAR race.
Yeah, Scott Owen is,
So then my question is, I guess the real question would be then is, do we want that parking lot incorporated right away with this, right?
Was there a reason why we needed it right away? Are we short on ADA stuff, handicap, or was that just because we like parking cars on pavement and grass?
It would be nice, but it's not necessary. Like, where our handicap parking spot is, it is like 300 feet, pretty darn close from there to the bathrooms or to the seats. So it's close. You know, ideally you want it closer, but it's not a necessity. And the other thing of not doing the parking lot right away, maybe that soccer field turns into a different vision in a couple of years, too. I mean, you don't know how things might change as well.
And would that mean it would be a full practice field?
It would.
And correct. It would continue to be a full practice field.
Yes. Correct.
And JV and varsity could play at the same time.
Yeah.
There's still the front game.
That's true. But JV can practice on one, varsity on the other, football on the other,
you focus soccer on this one, and football could go back to like when I was in high school, the front, instead of having everyone cross the road all the time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
You can definitely tell where the blue lines are.
Streets.
Interesting.
All right, so is everyone kind of in agreement that we should, if we do one of these, it would be the athletic complex, would be the one to focus on, the others can come along at times?
Yeah.
Everyone?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Back to the pollinator garden right away, Nancy?
Yeah, well, since we're here, does anyone oppose the pollinator garden?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. As long as she's not blocking the...
No, and most of them are pretty low, and they'll have one big, tall shoot like those cone flowers.
I tried to get her to speed up the process with seeded rototiller, but
if you're doing a 12-foot by 12-foot space, a shovel's just fine. So the recommendation to the board would be to recommend that the pollinator garden be allowed to proceed.
As long as she has like a walking path to the room.
Little pathway into the area for, you could put up information in there.
Actually, that would be, this is the pollinator garden. And I love that. Good idea.
I mean, are we going to put anything in there like a clause? Like, okay, let's say 3 years, 4 years from now, it's not being taken care of anymore. It looks like kind of like a weed thing that died. Would anybody get mad by us tilling it?
Then you won't even have to till it. All you have to do is mow the stuff, and the grass will come back. It will. I mean,
it's really easy to return back.
Yeah, it's very easy to return to. No rototiller required. Just go out there and throw a little grass seed and fall.
What is that thing actually called? What do you call it?
pollinator garden.
No, 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 not the pot. I got that. The wooden structure of the roof.
The shelter.
A kiosk. A kiosk. There you go. Wooden, a covered kiosk.
There we go.
All right. We're done with A and B. On to possible accomplishments, goals, brainstorming session.
So, yeah, Drew and I talked about this, and where I think this is stemming from is if we do put out a survey, or do we include this in a survey or not, these were things that came up in the past. You know, do we need an outdoor classroom in that bowl out there or some type of thing behind the high school? Do we really need to, what was the trees that need to be done?
Right here. Yeah. In fact, this one specifically is
right here.
Like in here.
Do we need, should we hire somebody to go in and either clear cut or select?
Well, Drew volunteered himself this evening.
For real?
He called me specifically. He said, I was going to be here. I would like to see if there are some others that would like to do it, but I could volunteer myself. He said, I'm not doing it all by myself, but if I could get a crew, and he said, I think I could bring quite a few people myself, so if something needs to be done, he would volunteer to do that. And what he said, and I thought this really made a lot of sense, is we've got a bunch of items there. If we can accomplish an item on the list.
Yeah, or an item a year.
An item a year, yeah. So that was Drew's point.
So what is his end goal here with that course?
He doesn't have one. He just hears that time. Hey, well, somebody's got to come and cut it out. And
cut it out why?
Well,
and how is he going to select what he cuts?
That he.
There's more to it.
There's obviously more to it.
Right.
Who said there's like overgrowth in it? From?
So I can tell you that if I own that chunk, I would select cut out some of the white pine because it's getting
too dense.
It's too dense. When we had that forester here, I asked the forester about that, and he said, "Well, it's still kind of a young forest, to really needs thinning yet." And yeah, you could wait, I guess. But the other thing that's happening in it that's very interesting, if I were teaching ecology, is talking about allelopathy, because you have walnut trees that are growing in there now, and they're killing all the pines. So the south side over there by Donnelly's house right here is all walnuts now, and the pines are dead or dying. And if you leave it go in the way that it's going right now, you'll eventually have nothing but walnut trees, the whole thing. So I guess it is. From a forestry standpoint, it's very interesting. I personally don't care what kind of trees grow there, but I can tell you my summer school kids love it. We go in there, with the nature explorers, I give them the perimeter, and I say, all right, you got the walking trail on this side, there's the trail that goes along County B, and they go in there, and they just explore, and it's awesome, because it's really thick, and they just enjoy it there. So
I have no trouble with that. I have no trouble with
it. So your recommendation would be just leave it as is?
I'd leave it as is, or if you don't want to have the pines all die out, you cut out the walnuts.
Or at least create a barrier path.
Yeah.
They'll root under, they'll seed under, and
now if you move your map a little bit to the north, there's those two chunks of prairie in there,
yep.
And the white pines have spread out into them, as well as some box elder junk. And if we want to keep those as prairies and not forests, those trees need to be removed. So if Drew wants to come in with a chainsaw, I'd put him in the prairie.
But wouldn't you need somebody privately come in to do it?
Steven, I mean, if you're talking a couple trees, I mean, that's not that bad. You're talking redoing an acre of woods.
That's different. But, yeah.
I'm just typing this for right now. We can change it later.
Some of the other options listed are
outdoor classroom, if you could scroll up to where that might look like.
So yeah, the other thing was, you know, this bowl right here is like a natural, was this an old gravel pit way back in the day?
Yeah, that was the gravel pit.
Do you cut these trees and put some benches in there to make an outdoor classroom? Do you build a wooden stage? Do you do something back here or don't you?
There's still trash there that needs to be removed.
Yeah, there's a cleanup process before it would be good. I think that would be an interesting thing to do. I think that's also, for me personally, I would love to have it done, but that's not an immediate front burner issue for me. But of the options, I think it's a great one because it really does. It is just a natural amphitheater.
It is, and once again, I take my summer school kids in there, and they love that hill.
Yeah.
Although there was a little bit of nettles they ran into.
Well, you know, there are teaching moments in every situation.
You're going to feel like you're on fire for about a half hour, but then you'll be okay.
You'll live through it.
Is there a necessity? Because I remember back in the original plans, you know, way back in the day, 5-6 years ago, we had a road going here with a dock. What is your future aspirations with that pond?
I've been out in different areas now, but there is like where the field washes out down further.
Right here.
Yeah. I would say that needs to be fixed, something done first.
Yeah, you got
it's
a lot of
people nearing like 6 feet. Yeah.
Can you even get across it with
no
implements?
We planned around it. I think at some point there needs to be an access point, like, you know, to get to the pond, to get to the community, and I'd like to see that happen. Eventually I think you're gonna need to get a road back there.
Rather than having to go all the way around. Somewhere along there, connect that extra parking to the trail. However, that is accomplished, and if you can do it, you can stop the erosion. You can nearly follow some of that, but that is pretty steep as well. So, for accessible trails, you need to do a little more movement.
As far as the pond goes, I don't take my students to that north pond because it is inaccessible right now. I take them to the little pond over by the softball field and walking trail. But that also is filling in and is getting pretty inaccessible except for where the culvert goes across underneath the walking trail. Through the culvert right there. That pond is going to fill in and not too long. So it's probably no more than waist deep now all the way across. But
so what would your recommendation be?
If you want to keep it as a drainage pond, it needs to be dredged. In 2003, my ecology students measured it and it was 8 feet deep. And now it's not even waist deep. So, I mean, it took 20 years. But it's doing its job. Its job was to take the sediment that was runoff when this thing was constructed and stop the sediment from going down into the wetland. So it's doing its job, but it's going to end its life.
And that actually has interesting biology and end of life ponds and bogs and marshes and how that transitions through.
Yep. So I take my students to that one. I already have a couple times this fall, as well as in the summer school kids. But you know, having an access point on either that one or the north one would be nice. You know, have a boardwalk or something. You know,
pack out some of the cattails and put in a boardwalk to get you 6 feet out or something would go a long way.
So I was talking to my guys about this pond specifically. We do want to cut 3 or 4 decent access points to the pond. You need to cut some openings into it and then brush hog it. We do know there's some trees that probably come down. Because it's also for us, we want to be able to see it. I mean, if a kid fell in, if a kid got into it, you couldn't even see him, you know? So I do know we do want to cut some accesses. If it winter works and it freezes over, we can walk on get down on it maybe a little bit and try to work on it a little bit. We were going to try to cut some access points into that. Try to open up some areas. That's good. But it has to happen when the winter is kind of frozen because it's so muggy and foggy down there that.
I guess one other thought that just popped into my head, does anybody know if there's any ash trees in any of this area? Because as we know, the Emerald Ash Borer pretty much killed every ash tree.
I think they're probably dead.
But I meant out here, I've got acres.
I bet that by the electrical substation in that low area,
there's
you're gonna have some, and they're probably dead or soon.
So that may be something that volunteers could, if they so choose, could clean up the dead ash.
That little square chunk of forest that's further to the north, that's on County D. There's ash in there.
I need to get there.
My students were in there this summer, and I noted all the dead ash.
There's you can almost see.
There's quite a bit in there.
Yeah, but you can almost see that. You can see the canopy where there's no green.
Yeah, that great.
That's almost certainly all ash.
Solar panels. I did a lot of research on solar panels over parking lots. Lake and Union up in northern Wisconsin, they have solar panel farm on top of their roof. The hole over the parking lot, I personally don't think it's there yet. It's not there yet.
It's difficult enough to make a solar project near break even without incentives, putting it on flat ground. If you put it over, it at least doubles the price, and putting it on a roof probably closer to triples the cost.
Yeah.
It's just cost prohibitive at this moment of the technology.
Yeah. I think it would be cool to have something solar just so that it could be educational.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be in huge scale. This is how we're lighting this lamp, or something.
Is there anything like we could put an array like over here somewhere, like just one array panel and have a feeder line doing something?
Well,
I don't know.
We have
all created there, though. So you'd have to be.
The
feeder line
on the top of the house.
Right, yeah, if you put it right at the end of that parking lot.
But what if you put it on the top of the?
Well, it does add costs. It's much more expensive to do that than to
No, I get it. Ben. What I'm getting at
no,
is
for her.
The solar panels wouldn't necessarily be for saving money.
Oh,
it's the educational purpose so that kids could easily access them.
Well, that's literally they can walk on the parking lot.
But what are those panels going to power? Are we going to have a charge controller and run it into the middle school like we were back in the day, or
that's
not?
You're not at a scale that's going to get the utility upset.
Right, that's true.
Well, if we own it, the utility can't say anything.
Correct.
Yes. So what I was getting at is you could put a residential system in here, just the house,
right.
A part of the house.
That's what I was thinking too. That's how you put it.
But I'm also saying, putting it next to the house on the ground is half the price of putting it under the roof.
Correct.
It just is.
Okay.
So you could get, you could get double the solar power for.
Since the wiring's already run to the north, I guess it would make sense to put it there rather than over by the science building.
Does somebody have any friends? I mean, I want to do residential solar. I don't know even where to begin with this.
Well, this would be a residential. This would be.
But you're tying into. What is our line coming in?
You would not tie into our line. You would tie into a small fuse
LED light bulb in the middle school.
A small fuse panel that could
do something.
Yeah. Maybe it heats the fish ponds and the egg.
I think if you were to do a small project, you would probably still want to contract it out too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
North Winds or something like that.
I work at Central Wisconsin Electric Cooperative. We have a educational solar panel thing, basically, and then we have a computer at our front desk, and it lists the output and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be perfect.
That would be cool. So, publish Bert Lehman is donating.
But truly, that is something that would be, I think, ideal to, if someone from your company or you yourself could bring us, you know, just some info and give it to Troy and we can look at it.
I'll talk to our the guy
who does that,
who works on that. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, I think eventually solar is going to be here, but I don't think we're ready for it. We're ready for it yet. The city could have told us that we were getting free electricity every year and whatever my daughter saw me $12,000 or whatever it was.
Well, I guess part of it would be, do you include 1, 2, 3, 4 and those kinds of options with the survey? Is there any of these smaller ones that we were talking about, the woods and access to ponds and cleaning up trees? I don't think any of those need a survey.
In my brain, if you were going to do a survey, I mean, I thought the parking lot, before having this meeting, I thought the parking lot would be a great survey question. But then I think it kind of shifted to say, maybe we try it without a parking lot for a couple of years and see what happens.
Yeah. I think that's a reasonable way to look at it. Does anyone else feel that way?
Should I bring up the thorn in your side, Stephen? Tennis courts?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I mean, we have a tennis club. We have quite a few people. Do you know the life expectancy of that?
Oh, 2021, I think.
Once again, it was only being used by FIAD for 2 weeks out of the year. So, once again, it's been thousands and thousands of dollars and it's not being utilized. So, but if it is, that would be a decision.
Now it is. We brought back 10.
But I'm going to bet it's probably going to be a full redo.
So, if it's a full redo, have Rettler's even touched that?
Nope. I guess my thing is, if it would be a complete redo, maybe we just have some numbers thrown together, but do
couple of them that are still playing. There's many of them.
They play on these.
Yeah, they still play. I mean, I
think that's kind of a wait and see how it goes.
Okay.
That's me. I don't think we need to.
Talk
I mean,
now.
If we're asking for a $4 million athletic club or athletic complex, just adding another million here and a million there and a million there, I think the public says, what?
But I mean, I can reach out to Holbrook. I think that was the last company that worked on it in 2019. They did some patchwork in it. Okay. I mean, I can reach out to them, have them come out and look it over, see what they recommend. Rattler would probably be another one that could be like, yeah, here's our pricing on this. You know,
if you could say, well, it's a $500,000 project, it's $1 million project, it's a $100,000 project.
Yeah, I think Portonville put post tension ports in. I think they did a 6-port system, and then with the mill, over the moon, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would that still be
in
there if we didn't have a school?
What was that?
I said, would that still be there if we didn't have a school there?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Would the school still be there? If there was no school?
If the school
has to close. Isn't that up on the 80 determination?
No.
Is it, would that still be there?
No, that's nothing to do with that. No. And technically, the majority out of this could be Fund 80, but that I don't want to get into right now.
I mean, like you said, maybe it's an option, okay, if it is. If they come through and they're like, yeah, this is, you need to review this, and it's like, okay, can we go with just 2 courts?
Yeah.
I need 6 courts.
Or do you just go in and have someone put on a new layer of blacktop and paint the blacktop.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Should we review it?
Can I get that one?
You may.
Adaptive playground equipment at the elementary school. I know, I've been talking about it with you for a couple years. We got estimates. I know the construction committee got estimates. Nobody ever seems to think that it's important, but if you don't know, you don't know. And
I got it right here.
Yeah, we have children in the elementary school that can pretty much just go outside for recess, and there's nothing for them to do. And it's expensive. I know it is. Anything in that is expensive?
Do you call it adaptive or inclusive? Is it adding?
Either one. But I mean, it should have been looked at when we redid our playground.
One thing about playground equipment like that is the Down with Miles one, which is really awesome. You would think, well, it's for the special needs kids, but I've driven by it and it's being used by everybody.
Right.
So you almost just could almost call it playground equipment because it's going to be used by everybody. And so to think that it's a high cost for only a few children is actually incorrect.
Right.
Good point.
Right. But it's a high cost because of accessibility. Yeah. And I know, what did we price out? We priced out the Orbit, which is the merry-go-round, and then a ramp with panels.
Yeah.
So, and it was like $80,000.
Yeah.
So, it's insane.
Yeah. But you don't get much for it.
You don't get any
playground.
Like any playground.
It was
All right, did we have anything else on?
No, but do you want to reread these, what I typed?
All right, approve the pollinator garden approximately 60.
I just put 60 by 60.
But it does not block access to
covered
areas.
It cannot.
And, yeah.
Cannot so, not?
Yeah.
That's when people know that I don't use ChatGPT.
Around the kiosk to the rock is the preferred place. The athletic complex would be a starting point, but others are not necessary at this time, a necessity at this time.
leave soccer field as it is, determine the parking lot if needed in the future. Stop me, anyone, if any of these don't make sense to you. Primary focus, the prairies west of the softball fields, clean out the trees to preserve prairies, erosion control north of the auxiliary parking lot, access points to the pond, maybe a dock or boardwalk, maybe ponds, period, plural. Some type of solar for educational purposes would be nice. And we should maybe put in the possibility of Central Wisconsin. And specifically now we also have questions about what we might want to include in a survey. Is there any of this that you would want to include in a survey that's going out for a referendum? And are there things that might not want to be included? Or
I don't know. Right.
Yep, I got it. Right.
I really, really hesitate to give too many options as well. I honestly think this group has done a wonderful job of scaling things down.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the survey, or maybe part of the referendum is more playground equipment. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's included.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this because my kid is perfectly
able. Physically, he is the problem.
He's fine.
We did leave space for playground equipment on purpose.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that is something. I mean, the city did it in Olin. But
if we're doing the outdoor classroom at the elementary school and we made it accessible we haven't bought seating yet, but it will also be accessible to me because
the road to the access tunnel, is that something I want to use for the referendum? Because that's not going to be cheap.
No.
I'm not talking blacktop, but they're going to have a base or have ground. It's going to be an expensive
cleaned
endeavor.
Out,
it's not something like, hey, let's budget $50,000 for next year.
I don't think we put that in a survey. Should we do this or shouldn't we do this? We either have to decide is it part of the budget or isn't it?
Once we have the budget, we can say if it goes to fund improvements on
educational
improvements on maybe you want to put it on district owned land, but you don't to improve those languages.
Yeah.
But I think that's a place where you can.
On how to word it where you can use the funds for certain projects that you want to do.
I think what we want to do is we want to leave ourselves options for going forward to what comes up. We decide that, hey, we need a tennis court. Maybe we can, use that. Or no, we don't need it. We still have options of things that we can do, and if the budget allows, then we can think about which one of those budget items would most make sense.
Yeah, I think what we would have to do, and when we get the final numbers back at the board level, is we would have to, we were talking about putting $200,000 aside in the capital improvements.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So every year you would gain another 200,000.
Is there anything else for this? No. Set a meeting date. I think we can to be determined. This, and, anybody want to stay? Otherwise, I would recommend determining. Let's get out of here. Thank you all for spending.
Where did you play tonight?
Oh,
I gotta get home. Bert, why are you keeping us so late?
Oh my god. They almost didn't. I mean, if they were home.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. The Cubs were due to have one good
game. Yeah, they
now
they
have three.
They had
all
one
for
good
game.
They like had one good game.
One inning can make a game.
But to be fair, the Brewers are going to come back to you all year long. They can't,
you can't
expect it every time.
They can live by that sword.
We do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all.